big idea. We receive Christ by faith, follow Christ in faith, obey Christ in faith, and continue to trust wholeheartedly in the promises of God. Let me ask you this question. When did your life forever change? If you're a believer, the answer is when I believed in Jesus. That's when it changed. Amen? The day I heard the good news of Jesus Christ and put my trust in Him, everything changed. Everything changed. So, for this second session on faith, talked about repentance, now faith, I want to look at seven big questions. Started with five, ended up with seven. So, had a couple more. Seven big questions related to faith in part two. And to answer each question, we'll be looking at one primary text or passage from God's Word. So the first question is, what is faith? What is faith? Where there's repentance, there's also what? There's faith. Let me turn this off. Where there's repentance, there's also faith. The two go together, hand in hand. As we saw earlier, faith and repentance are two sides of the same coin. Both are related to the appropriate response to the gospel. In repentance, we are turning away from our previous rebellion against God, our sin, and are thus turning toward Christ in faith. Turning away from sin is repentance. Turning to Christ, faith. But what is faith? It's a really important question. Perhaps the quintessential passage in the New Testament on faith, I'd say that the book is probably Romans, the chapter, perhaps chapter 4, and the passage, Romans 4, 18 to 21. This is the quintessential passage on faith. So to define faith, let's look at Romans 4, 18 to 21. Again, that's our first question, what is faith? And to answer that question, we're going to turn to Romans 4, 18 to 21. Paul writes, in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. Who told him? God. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the what? The promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he'd promised. What do we learn about faith in Romans 4, 18 to 21? Abraham trusted in God. He didn't waver. His belief was in what? So we're really going to pay attention to the language. He didn't waver, right? He didn't waver in his belief in what? God's promises. What's emphasized in those verses, if you were listening carefully, is the word of God. What he told Abraham, verse 18, and what he promised Abraham, mentioned twice, verse 20 and verse 21, concerning offspring, okay? Despite his circumstances, which were against him, old body, old wife, to put it lightly, Abraham continued to rely on the Lord. He trusted that his promises would come to fruition, which included the promise of a rescuer through whom the world would be blessed. Genesis 12:3. The Greek word for faith is pistis. Pistis. It means to believe to the extent of complete trust. Pistis. To believe to the extent of complete trust and reliance. To believe in, to have confidence in, to trust. Faith is trust. It is reliance. Got it? Faith is trust. It is reliance. It's one thing to examine the chair. Bruce, can I borrow your chair really fast? I'm sorry, brother. I meant to grab one. Okay. I'm not going to make you stand long. It's one thing to examine the chair. Looks solid. Looks like it was constructed well. not too old. I see four legs, like a chair should have. It's one thing to examine the chair and then say aloud, I think that chair will hold me up. It's another thing entirely to sit down upon the chair. That's faith. Thank you, brother. Yeah. That's faith. Faith is confidence that the chair will hold. Faith is sitting down in the chair. Okay? It's sitting down in the chair. Now, where does faith come from? Let's look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Again, for each of the seven questions, we're going to look at one primary text. So to answer the question, where does faith come from? Let's go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. What is faith? It is reliance. It is trust. It is complete trust. Where does faith come from? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. As with repentance, faith must be granted. Both are works of God. We see this in places like Acts 16, where the scripture says that the Lord opened a woman's heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Before Lydia could believe, the Lord had to first act on her what? Her heart. We also have John 6:44 that reads, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Our faith is preceded by the gracious work of God on our hearts. Faith is not something that we can simply conjure up on our own. Why? Because we simply can't. Why? Because of what? Sin. Sin results in spiritual deadness. And what can the dead do? Nothing. Recall Romans 8:7. For the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It can't. But through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit of God makes spiritually dead sinners alive to repent and believe. Praise God for the gift of faith. Amen? Listen, if we don't, now this is important, okay? If we don't acknowledge faith as a gift from God, then we rob God of the praise he is due for that gracious gift. Understand, let me say that again. If we don't acknowledge faith as a gift from God, then we rob God of the praise he is due for this gracious gift. We are demonstrating ingratitude to the God of salvation. Number three, I mentioned earlier, repentance has an object. We repent of or from sin. Likewise, faith has an object. Number three, what is faith's object? To answer that question, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Christian, faith has an object. We don't just believe generally, we believe specifically in a person. As Greg Gilbert writes, faith is a rock solid, truth grounded, promise founded trust in the risen Jesus to save you from your sins. And we say, amen. Let's talk about saving faith. I think this will be helpful. Saving faith. Saving faith. Saving faith does three things. Saving faith believes, agrees, and trusts. Saving faith believes, it agrees, and it trusts. Others have described these three elements of saving faith as the facts, a comprehension of the facts, and trust in the facts. The facts, a comprehension of the facts, and trust in the facts. Let me explain. As we just saw, the object of our faith is what? It's a person. It's who? It's Jesus. We don't just believe, we believe in Jesus, okay? I would never just say, I believe. No, I believe in Jesus, okay? But it matters what we believe about Jesus. Jesus merely the carpenter? No. We must believe that he is truly God and truly man. That he is God come down, God incarnate, the King of promise. We must believe that this Jesus lived perfectly, died sacrificially, rose victoriously, ascended triumphantly. He's at the right hand of the Father. Amen? We have to believe the right things about Jesus. Next, we have assent. This means that we must agree with the gospel and its implications. The gospel declares that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that Jesus is the Savior and not us. Do you agree with that? That's faith. That's assent. It's agreeing with the facts and the implications of those facts. Okay? Do you believe that you're a sinner? That you need a Savior? That Jesus is the Savior? You're not the Savior? I mean, I hope so. Saving faith agrees with this or assents to it. And finally, there's the element of trust. Okay? Belief, agreement, trust. As Robert Lethem notes, with saving faith, there is a commitment to the truth, above all, to him who is truth. Saving faith includes a full trust in and commitment to the person of Jesus Christ. As another brother notes, knowing and believing the content of the Christian faith is not enough, for even the demons can do this. It's James 2:19. Faith is only effectual if knowing about and assenting to the claims of Jesus, one personally trusts in him alone for salvation. What we see here is that there is a connection between cognition, conviction, and confidence. There's a connection between cognition, what we know, conviction, and confidence. I believe, I agree, and I trust. I believe the truth, I agree with the truth, I trust in the truth. Amen? Okay? Number four. This is a really important question. What is the relationship between faith and justification? And maybe you've never heard that word, justification. What does that mean, justification? For that, we're going to go to Romans 5:1. Again, we're answering the question, what is the relationship between faith and this thing called justification? Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been what? Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. First off, what is meant by justification? Justification is a legal term. It refers to a legal declaration. Think of a verdict. You're in court. The judge gives a verdict. You're either what? You're either innocent or you're guilty. To be justified means to be declared what? Not guilty. Lord forbid, but what? Innocent or righteous. Before trusting in Christ, none of us were born trusting in Christ, by the way. Okay? Before trusting in Christ, the sinner is declared what before God? Guilty. Unrighteous. But, everybody say but. Okay. But, by faith in Christ, the sinner is justified or declared what? Righteous or innocent before God. Now, how this works is amazing. So follow me here. For those who trust in Jesus, he takes their sin and gives them his what? His righteousness, okay? We see this expressed in places like 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Suffice it to say that through faith, we are united. Everybody say united. It's a really helpful term. We are united to Christ, who takes away our sin and gives us or imputes to us his righteousness. His right standing is imputed to those who believe in him. There is no justification or right standing with God apart from faith, specifically faith in who? Jesus Christ. Philip Evison writes, faith is simply the channel or the empty hand that receives God's free gift. This faith is not to be seen as a work that we do in order for God to accept us. He does not justify us because he sees faith as a sign or a change in our attitude. It is faith's object, namely, who? Jesus the Messiah, that is the basis of justification. Amen? Oh! Again, it's not our faith that saves us. Who saves us? It's Jesus. Jesus saves us. We lay hold of that salvation by faith. And even this faith is what? It is a gift from the Lord. You know, if you're going to talk about justification, probably quote John Piper. He's written a lot on it. And I love this quote from Piper. He says, faith is the receiving instrument. He says, allowing for imperfect analogies, faith saves the way swallowing a pill, like medicine, heals. But the pill, not the swallowing, contains the disease-killing agent, the health-giving power. Faith receives Christ. Christ saves. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Those who are right with God, now just imagine that for a minute, because it's true if you've trusted in Christ. If you, a sinner, we, sinners, ungodly sinners, unrighteous sinners, disobedient sinners, rebellious sinners, shaking our fists at God, sinners. If by grace we've trusted in Christ, we are now right with God. Oh, are you kidding me? No, that is the good news. Amen? Those who are right with God, who enjoy peace with God, who are declared righteous before God, are those who trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation from sin and the wrath of God our sin deserves. Number five, we're moving. We're getting there. What role? And this is the one that I want to spend a little more time on. What role does faith play in the life, the daily life of the believer? Because again, you may say, well, yeah, I believed 20 years ago. Yeah, I prayed a prayer, I believed. Yeah, but do you believe now? Are you trusting now? So what role does faith play in the life of the believer now? It's a really important question for the believer. We would be unwise to assume that faith is a one-and-done exercise. Faith begins at conversion, and it continues on with sanctification, just like repentance. Again, we don't merely trust in Jesus at conversion and then put our faith to rest. By no means. We don't merely trust in the gospel once and then look to other things for meaning, peace, and satisfaction. No, faith continues to be the primary response of the believer toward Christ and his gospel. Man, I love 2 Corinthians. It's the first book I taught through, verse by verse, guys. First book. So hard. It's a very hard letter. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to answer the question. Number five, what role does faith play in the daily life of the believer by looking at 2 Corinthians 5, 7? For we walk by faith, not by sight. The verb to walk, peripateo, is in the present tense, which denotes what kind of action? It's continuous. This is not a one-and-done walk. This is an ongoing walk. And what do we learn about this walk? We walk by what? By faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? Now, if you look at the original Greek, which I did, the phrase by faith is actually fronted at the beginning of the verse. It's by faith we walk, not by sight. Why would he do that? Why would Paul front that in the Greek? For emphasis. By faith we walk. Now that verb peripateo, it means to live your life, to conduct your life, to behave. We live, we conduct our lives, we behave by what? By faith, not by sight. What does that mean? Faith is the primary mark of the Christian. As we've seen, the Christian life begins with faith, but it must continue with faith as well. The believer in Christ, justified by faith in Christ, continues to trust in the perfect life, the sacrificial death, the glorious resurrection, the triumphant ascension of Jesus Christ. When tempted to despair or question or look elsewhere for satisfaction, the believer continues to do what? To trust in the all-sufficiency of the saving work of Christ. I didn't just trust in the gospel in 1995 when I was in middle school. I trust in the gospel right now. It wasn't just sufficient then, it's sufficient today. It is everything. Amen? I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by faith, boys. Let me just give you a few ways this plays out. I think this will be helpful, okay? When tempted to sin, the believer who walks by faith continues to trust that Jesus is better than sin, more beautiful, more glorious, more fulfilling. Do you believe that? That's walking by faith, okay? If I'm walking by faith when tempted to sin, I am believing that Jesus is better than my sin, that Jesus can fulfill, not my sin. When tempted to fear, oh, we're never tempted to fear, are we? Come on, guys. When tempted to fear, anxiety, or worry, the believer continues to trust in the sovereignty of God, believing wholeheartedly that he is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen? That's walking by faith. I continue to trust in God's sovereignty. I didn't just trust in that in 1995. I trust in that today, March 20th, 2026. Amen? Walking by faith. When in the throes of suffering, the believer continues to trust that the Lord has him right where he wants him and that he is using said trial to sanctify him more and more into the image of Christ. If you get nothing else tonight for this session, get this next thing, okay? You can take this with you. Hopefully take it all with you. I know you remember everything, but remember this. Faith works with the word to fight sin. Let me say it again. Walking by faith, okay, peripateo, we're to live our lives, conduct our lives, moment by moment, day by day, walking in faith, trusting the Lord. Faith works with the word to fight sin. You want to fight sin? Faith works with the what? The word. Let me explain. You cannot kill sin without faith. Okay? Let me explain. Every sin we're tempted to calls into question the truthfulness and legitimacy of God's word. Every sin that we're tempted by calls into question the legitimacy and the truthfulness of God's word. When we sin, we are buying into the lie that that particular sin can satisfy and fulfill. Faith says no. Faith says no. Let me explain. The word of God is true. The word of God is life-giving. The word of God is God's will for my life. I believe this, and therefore I will not give into my what? Into my sin. We fight sin by trusting in the word of God. Amen? Take that with you, boys. Okay? Number six. We're almost there. What characterizes faith in Jesus? Four things I want to point to here, guys. A, faith follows. Man, I've been using that for years. Faith follows. Faith follows. Follows who? Follows Jesus, right? Faith is not just mental assent. Yeah, I believe a few things. No, faith is this. I'm holding on to him. I'm wherever he goes, I'm going. I'm following Jesus. Faith follows. Faith goes where Jesus says go. It fully trusts in Christ. Faith is not mere assent. Faith sees Jesus as most worthy, most holy, and most joyfully joins up with him. Faith sets its sights on following Jesus. Abraham is our prime example here. Listen to Hebrews 11, 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out. He went, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Mark 8, 34. Man, I love this verse. And calling the crowd to himself with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, Mark 8, 34 is a call to faith. And this faith, this call to faith, demands that we follow who? Follow Jesus. Man, faith follows, boys. It follows. B, faith obeys. It obeys. It's James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Those who trust in the Savior obey the Savior. Amen? Those who trust, you say you trust in Jesus, you're going to obey Jesus. Those who trust in the Savior obey the Savior. They trust that what he commands is true and good, and therefore they commit to it. Show me a Christian who trusts in the Lord, and I'll show you a Christian who joyfully obeys the Lord. Again, recall Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham what? He obeyed. By faith, he what? He obeyed. See, faith loves. Oh, this is good, man. Faith loves. This is 1 Timothy 1:5. Listen to Paul's words here. The aim of our charge is love, okay, that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere what? Faith. Did you hear it? According to Paul, our love for one another issues from a sincere faith. Our faith is shown to be genuine and sincere by our love for one another. Love flows out of our faith in Christ. We are united to Christ by faith, and this faith transforms us to love like our King. Those who trust in the King love like the King. You got it? So, faith follows, faith obeys, faith loves. D, faith clings. It clings. Faith clings to Jesus as the Savior of your soul. It clings to his promises. It clings to a person. So, when I was probably 7 or 8 years old, our family were floating down the Guadalupe. My biological dad's a big guy, man, big muscular guy. Me and my dad going down the river, and a cottonmouth comes right at us on the water. I jump into his tube, and I cling to him. I left my tube behind, man. I'm like, I don't stand a chance. But my dad, I mean, in my mind, Matt's seen my dad. He's a big man, about 6'4". Back then, I mean, he was like He-Man. And so I leave my tube, and I jump onto my dad, and I cling to him for dear life. I knew that he had me, that he would protect me. That's faith. As Christians, we cling to the what? To the who. We cling to the Lord. We cling to his promises. Let me give one example. When we repent of sin, we are promised what? God's forgiveness. Do you believe that? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Do you believe that promise? I'm asking. Yes or no? Okay, good. Okay, so when we repent of sin, we are promised forgiveness. Faith clings to that promise. It trusts in it. Faith believes that the repentant in Christ are truly what? Forgiven. No longer under the wrath of God, no longer separated from God, but reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Recall Hebrews 11:17 and 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And this is the best part, verse 19. This is money. Listen to this. He considered that God was able even to raise the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Here's the point. Do you see what's happening here? Abraham clung to God's promise, believing that not even death could undermine the promise of God. Faith clings. Amen? It clings. The last thing is this. Number 7. How do we grow in our faith? I mean, do you want to grow in your faith? Oh, I think I'm good. I think I've reached my faith quota, Chris. I think I'm happy where I'm at. I hope that's not you. I hope you desire to grow in your trust and reliance on the Lord. How do we do that? Well, the first thing is this. There's an A, B, and a C. A, read, study, and memorize God's word. Recall Jesus' prayer for his followers in John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification includes growing in our faith in Christ. Amen? Okay? And how are we sanctified? By the truth, and the word is truth. This happens primarily through the word of God. Do you want to grow in your faith? It's going to happen through the word of God, with the word of God. The word, the Bible, reveals the promises of God and the promise-keeping of God. You get both, right? You don't just get the promises. You get the promises made and the promises kept. Oh, and what happens when you see God again and again make promises and keep promises? What does it do? It bolsters your faith. Man, he makes some big promises, but every time what does he do? He keeps those promises. We see God's faithfulness on display from Genesis all the way to Revelation. If you wish to grow in your faith, then be a man of the book. That's what being a man is. Be a man of the Bible. Amen? Pick it up and read it. Become familiar with the promises of God and trust in the promises of God. B, pray. How do we grow in our faith? Pray. Mark 9:24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. That's one of my favorite passages in Mark. Sick kid, dying kid. Jesus demands faith. I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. Man, if you feel like you're not where you want to be in your faith and trust, you trust in the Lord? I love what Pastor Aaron says. He says it's not so much the size of our faith, it's the object of our faith, right? We trust in Christ, but we want to grow in our faith. So we should pray, Lord, help me to grow my faith. Grow my faith. Grow my trust in you. Listen to how Jesus prays. This is Luke 22:32. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. May we pray for an ever-growing faith in Christ, a deeper trust in his promises. And may we pray this not just for ourselves, but for who? For one another. You know, prayer is how we lift our gaze from our circumstances to the one who is sovereign over our circumstances, to the one who is greater. And then C, how do we grow in our faith? Read, study, memorize God's word, pray. C, fellowship with the body of Christ. I love Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Although faith is not mentioned, it surely applies. We provoke one another to believe more deeply, more steadfastly through our fellowship with one another. We are encouraged by the faith of other believers. Amen? The more time I spend with brothers who trust in the Lord, trust in his promises, trust in his sovereignty, I'm sharpened by them. It affects my faith. Amen? Have you experienced that? It's true. We are called to provoke one another in a deepening trust in the Lord. The faith of others will encourage us. It'll challenge us. It'll provoke us. If you wish to grow in your faith, give yourself to the word, be a man of prayer, and don't neglect fellowship with the church. Now let me end with some questions to ponder and then some more good news. Number one, man, this is the most important question. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust in him personally as your Savior, as the one who lived and died and rose again to save you from sin and the wrath of God our sin deserves? Have you trusted in Jesus? Two, are you walking by faith? How can you grow here? Are you walking by faith? Three, is yours a faith that follows, obeys, loves, and clings? Four, how are you growing in your faith? I mean, do you want to grow in your faith? And five, how can you help others grow in their faith? Let me end with this. What is promised to the believer? Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And once more, 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall see him, right? We shall be like him, because we'll see him as he is. One day, our faith will be what? One day, our faith will be sight. We will see our Savior and our King face to face. Amen? One day, we'll repent no more. And one day, our faith will become sight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these glorious doctrines, these works of God, these gifts, repentance and faith. We thank you for giving them to us in Christ. I pray that every believer in this room, every man who has trusted in Jesus, I pray that his life would be marked by repentance and faith. Help us, Holy Spirit, through the word, through prayer, and through the fellowship of the body, to consistently and regularly and drastically turn from sin and turn to Christ in faith. Help us to trust fully, wholeheartedly in Jesus and the all-sufficiency of his saving work, to trust in his life, death, and resurrection, his glorious ascension as the only way for us to be justified and reconciled to a good, holy, and just God. Help us to trust your promises, to trust your word. Help us to come alongside brothers to encourage them in daily repenting of sin and trusting more deeply in Christ. Father, I pray for any here this evening who don't know Jesus. Father, would you give them eyes to see and ears to hear? Would you move them by the Spirit through the gospel to repent and believe in Jesus for salvation from sin and the wrath of God our sin deserves? Father, I pray that what was in line with your word and from your word and true, therefore true, that Holy Spirit, you would take that and apply it to our hearts, change us and make us more like the Son. And if anything was said this evening that was not in line with your word, I pray that it would fall on deaf ears. Help us to be men who love you, Lord, who love your word, and who love each other. And I pray that we would not think just about how we can apply these things, but how we can help others apply these things as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.